One brief announcement that we have was next week is the annual meeting, so the annual report will be emailed to all of us. So do expect to get them in the email tomorrow. If not, there will be some copies, limited copies here for those of you who prefer to have a hard copy. But if possible, do use the email version. And then, of course, those are good news about the PNC. And in some ways, you may think that perhaps such news would just deflate my ego. Couldn't help it. I was away for 2 weeks, and I come back and hear this. What happened? All right. 1 Peter 2:13 to 17. Let us continue our journey through Peter. Let us read the Word of God. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil, and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for the beauty of your creation and the challenging word that we've read today. Enable us to understand this message. May it move us unto obedience to you, our supreme Lord and sovereign master. We pray that these words would be your words unto us, on a benefit to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. I think that you would agree with me that this reading from Peter is rather difficult. How can we possibly believe, never mind put into practice, the teaching of such a text? We may have to submit to those who have authority over us. In many cases, we really have no other options but to submit. But do we really have to honor those same authorities when their fundamental beliefs are diametrically opposed to those dear to us? Can we really honor, for example, a president who espouses a view on marriage different than that we consider biblical? Or can we really honor a Congress that espouses a view on caring for the widow, the orphan, and the alien that disagrees with the compassion for the needy demanded in Scripture? This is difficult indeed. But as North American Christians, our dilemma pales in comparison with Christians in other lands. Among the many students I had this last 2 weeks, I had students who lived under the Sandinista in Nicaragua, unheard of political corruption in Honduras, and even more daunting, at least for me, the horrific conditions for 50 years of the people in Cuba. In each one of those countries, Christianity is expanding and growing. And Christians have no choice but to submit. Can we expect them to honor their government leaders when they're so oppressive? As I discussed this possibility with the Christians from Cuba, all they said to me that it was rather easy for me as a North American Christian, notwithstanding my personal dilemmas because of our political positions, to submit and honor the president and Congress. But as Cuban Christians, they can only pray for the downfall and death of their leaders. So I gather from my conversations with them that their prayers for their national leaders echoed the prayers for the Tsar we hear in Fiddler on the Roof. You may recall the play, Life for Jews under Tsarist Russia at the beginning of the 20th century. Suffering, misery, persecution, oppression was their lot. The rabbi tells everyone that there is a blessing for all of life, for every circumstance. Is there a proper blessing for the Tsar? Asked one of those gathered around the rabbi. A blessing for the Tsar, retorts the rabbi. Certainly, may God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. I thought long and hard about how to preach this sermon, honestly. So long, in fact, that a few weeks ago, some of you noticed I skipped the passage and talked about dreams. That was intentional. I just did not want to deal with it. I even thought of passing the hot potato onto Aaron and have him preach on it. But I thought, no, I'll give him the one about wives submit to your husbands coming up. I was already told, you're not preaching that, are you? I said, well, it's there, so I got to deal with it. Pray for me. And no, I am not going to. So I've decided, actually, no. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to ask someone else to do it for me. Yes, that's what I will do. Someone who is better prepared to give you a better understanding of these challenging words. Someone who perhaps has lived this out. Someone very familiar to you, but perhaps unknown. So, if you are able, just imagine that I'm someone else, that Al has left and he's away. And I'm going to try to read without glasses. Good luck. That way, if I lose my way. So, Al has left and I'm someone else. An older man sitting, much older than me actually, sitting here in a cell block awaiting his execution. Allow him to come and share with you. Good morning. It is good to be here with you. And please thank Reverend Padilla for inviting me to share my thoughts of this passage. Of course, I am not a reverend like his. As a matter of fact, I would not qualify to be ordained in this church. Most of you call me by a title, saint. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, we're all saints, so forget the title and just call me by my regular name. I, Simon Bar-Jonah, have had a long history of submitting to those around me. Ever since my youth, I have had to submit and submit to authority. Often, that submission was accompanied with honor. Other times, it was the most difficult thing to honor those whose authorities took on the form of persecution and oppression. Those who used their positions of power for self-motivation, self-aggrandizement. Those who use positions for themselves. You see, I grew up in a very traditional Jewish community, a small town by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, a community in which those who had religious authority over us crushed our spirit, overemphasizing their religious piety, their righteousness, while highlighting the sinfulness of lesser human beings like me, relegating us to the lower rungs of society. As I had to work long hours to support my family, I lacked the resources and time to sit in the synagogue to study the Torah, the law, scripture, so I could never be as religious as they were. To make matters worse, I was a fisherman. Dragnet fishing the Sea of Galilee enabled me to feed my family, but it made me ritually impure, for I was in constant contact with defiled animals of the deep. You might not remember, but as Jews, we believe that some animals were unclean, non-kosher, I believe you call them today, and from the sea, only fish with fins and scales are considered clean. Everything else is unclean. Things such as clams, shrimps, crabs, eels. Their very touch makes us unclean and therefore sinners. The rabbis, Pharisees, scribes simply labeled me a sinner. And that's all that there was to that. I accepted their authoritative pronouncement, though I did not cherish their condemnation of my lifestyle. I acknowledge that our God had chosen them to guide the religious life of our people, and thus accepted their pronouncement as representative of God's judgment on me. On one of those fishing days, about 35 years ago, I had a personal encounter with Jesus. I witnessed the miraculous catch of fish that day, and my whole being trembled with fear, for upon seeing that miracle, I understood that this was no ordinary man, and concluded that that he had great authority indeed. An authority that would make great demands on my life if I chose to listen to him. An authority vastly superior to that of the Pharisees, but demanding greater submission from me. Depart from me, I told him, for I am a sinner. Had not the religious authority always told me that? Surely Jesus would not want to hang around with me. Jesus ignored my plea and simply said, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. That day, I submitted wholeheartedly to his authority and now call him my Lord and my Master. I have been following him all these decades, submitting to his call on my life. And ever since, I'm still catching men. And the change he has wrought on my life, how amazing, how wonderful. Therefore, I submit to him willingly and honor him for allowing me to submit to his desire on my life. Years after that fishing boat encounter, I was led by the Holy Spirit to enter the house of the centurion Cornelius, a Gentile. I had never entered the house of a Gentile, for does not the law prohibit us from mingling with impure people? Well, I entered the house of a Gentile, and God did an amazing thing. He called those same Gentiles to become members of the household of God. What happens next, you may not recall too readily. James, the brother of Jesus, yes, the very brother, was the head of the church in those days. You could say he had authority over me, for he was my superior. He and the other leaders heard what I had done, and they were not happy. And they demanded an explanation of my actions, for they had not given me permission to proclaim the gospel message to Gentiles. As James was in charge, I submitted to his authority and obediently submitted a report explaining my actions. Thankfully, James understood that God had indeed led me to visit Cornelius. For you see, though James is the head of the church, he too is under greater authority. This authority too is a joyous one, one that we honor, one that I gladly accept. I am grateful for the leadership James provided for us in those early days of our movement. But now, here I am today. 40 plus years since my fishing boat encounter with Jesus, decades after he'd given an explanation to James, awaiting to be executed because the emperor, yes, the emperor, he who sits on his earthly throne as the supreme political authority over the entire world, has decreed that I am a subversive person, an enemy of the state, that I am a threat to the authority that is Rome, and to his authority in particular. Now he, that is the emperor, does not see things as I do. What he considers a political crime is simply my desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone, even the Romans, and even with the emperor himself. That is why I came to Rome. The gospel message demands that we submit ourselves unconditionally to God, to love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And to love each other, that we are all equal before God. That the emperor could not accept. There is no doubt that Emperor Nero Caesar has supreme authority. He commands the most powerful army in the world. He has unlimited financial resources, and the machinery of an entire empire looks to him for direction and guidance in all that they do. I know that God has the ultimate authority. But here on earth, the emperor has been placed in authority by our God. Yes, we may consider the Roman Empire to be a malevolent entity, but we could not survive as a society without the political machinery that is the Roman Empire. Their armies keep the peace, albeit at a high price for many of us. The peace that enables us to live our lives in relative peace. The judicial system has set in place laws that protect the rights of most citizens, though here I sit on a jail cell. Their well-maintained roads were built to serve a mobile army that they may conquer, but now serve our venues, enabling us missionaries to travel around the empire proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I must submit. I have no other option, for he is all powerful and he has benefited us somehow. But how can we honor such a man as Nero Caesar? How can I honor his political appointees? You may not know much about Nero. He was not a nice guy. Nero lavished himself in his own power, wasting resources in unheard of extravagances, even by imperial standards. For example, he used golden thread for his fishing nets. He never used the same rope twice. He had his mules shot with silver to show off how much wealth he had. He was heavily into parties and practiced orgies and gluttony. And his dinners, all his dinner parties, lasted 12 hours from noon to midnight. He also murdered his 19-year-old wife that he may marry his mistress. And then he killed that mistress when she was pregnant, kicking her to death. His sexual immoralities involved men and boys and all sorts of women. Let me tell you that even the people of Rome, not necessarily the most upright people on earth, thought he was immoral. Now, that is certainly an indication that the man was perverse. Years into his reign, he began to think of himself as the incarnation of the sun god Apollo and encourage his subjects, everyone, to worship him as a god. Indeed, he was very, very, very wicked. Don't you think so? The epitome of evil, according to many of our peers. Now, can we really honor such a person? Yet, God, in his wisdom, and without any input from me, nor from any other of God's faithful followers, placed Nero in such a position of power. I cannot guess why he would do so. So I must suppose that in honoring him, we are in fact honoring God who appointed him to be emperor. The honor we are to give him must not be confused, however, with emperor worship, which is his demand. Nor must we think that it implies that we approve of his activities, his many perversions, his lavish lifestyle. No, this honor means that we acknowledge that God is sovereign, and in a way foreign to us right now, that God's purpose is being fulfilled in his life, even his wicked life. So consider this. If I, who am about to die at the hands of such a vile human being, can submit to his authority and give him some honor for his role in keeping our society whole and peaceful, then perhaps you too can find some semblance of submission and honor for those who presently have authority over us, even when we disagree with them. I am convinced that our submission will bear witness to the power of Christ in us, that the same mechanisms of political power that empower such wicked men as Nero will one day give rise to godly leaders who would embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But for now, we submit, honor, and pray for those who exercise political authority over us. Nero Caesar has put to death many who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this simply because they refuse to worship him as God. That no true believer would ever do. Nero and other high-ranking officials of the empire have tortured us, hoping to break our resolve not to worship them, but to worship only God. But by the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that we would not do. That is where we draw the line in submitting and honoring those in earthly authority over us, where they demand that we treat them as gods. They are beginning to wonder why so many of us remain silent during those ordeals. Yes, those who falsely accuse us of wrongdoing are wondering why we do not return their hatred with hatred, their violence with violence. Some have begun to wonder if perhaps there is a degree of truth to our religious claims a kernel of truth in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the crucified Messiah. You may be surprised to know that even the Praetorian Guard, the emperor's elite fighting force, the men entrusted with the safety of the emperor, even they have heard the story of Jesus, and some have become believers, followers of Jesus. We are grateful that the suffering of many of our brothers and sisters have sown such a wonderful fruit among the Roman elite. Now, the emperor does not know that, so we must keep it quiet for now. Nero himself has heard the message of the gospel, so do join me in praying for his soul. We will allow the power of the gospel of Jesus to continue to work in his life. Now, I hear footsteps approaching and cannot be with you much longer. They're coming for me. Yesterday was a difficult day for me. My dear wife of 40 years was led to her own execution. The Roman authorities hoped that her death and her suffering would so distraught me that I would break down in pieces and curse them. I did not. I know that our separation will be but brief, and I will soon join her. So, as she was led away, I simply encouraged her. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. Be faithful unto death. Now I am about to join her. Nero, by his authority, has decreed that I must be crucified for what he considers disloyalty to the empire. Perhaps he aims to crucify me in mockery for the message of a crucified Messiah. But in his wisdom, the emperor has granted me one request. I ask not to be crucified in the same way that my Lord and Master Jesus was crucified, for I am unworthy to imitate the Lord. And the emperor has consented to crucify me upside down, as I have requested. For that, I am grateful. May God have mercy on his soul. So my last words to you are these. Remember the Lord Jesus, for he too submitted to political authorities so that a greater good may be accomplished. So I remind you, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors sent by him to punish those who do evil, and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. May God bless you.